You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Hi everyone, welcome back. It's good to be with you again. So, we've made it through Super Saturday. And I wonder, how did you approach it? Were you first in line down the pub? Were you at the front of the line for that midnight haircut? Or maybe you stayed at home? It's been interesting watching and observing the different responses we've seen through the lockdown and then the easing of lockdown. And whatever and wherever you are on that spectrum of responses, I think one of the most overwhelmingly common responses to this season and this time has been the missing of people. Even if you are one of those who've loved being at home, you've loved the quiet without the traffic noise, and you've loved the earth being able to breathe again, as I've heard it described, I think most of us, if not all of us, would miss people, that sense of connectedness, the meeting up and physical contact with people. And I've said this whole way through the lockdown that I've had this sense of lament in my heart. Lament, it's a great word, isn't it? I love it when you find a word that just captures how you're feeling. And that lament means a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. And I've missed meeting up in person on Sundays to worship God together. I've missed our midweek groups where we come together in people's homes and share coffee and cake, but more importantly, share our lives together. I've missed the welcomes and the laughter and the hugs from people I know and love. And what about you? I wonder what you've missed in this time. Have you missed being together with people, meeting up and socializing, worshiping in person, gathering together to encounter God in prayer? And it's funny, isn't it, that all these things I've just mentioned, they seem so run-of-the-mill before the virus and before the lockdown. We almost didn't notice them. We just kept living with an expectation that they'll be there next week and the week after and the week after that. And yet one of the most powerful aspects of what's happened since March is this smashing of the illusion that it'll always be this way. And even more illuminating for me is this aspect of control, where we had this notion where we were in control of things. See, the veil and this illusion was paper thin, and it just tore through and disappeared overnight. And I don't know about you, but for me, that was a big wake-up call. You see, I don't want to take things for granted anymore. I don't want to return to the familiar, which could lead to contempt. And as we've walked through this series where we've looked at the ways that we follow Jesus, as I've reflected on the things I've missed in lockdown and also on this sense of lament I just mentioned, I've been drawn to the scriptures, and just scriptures that have helped me and encouraged me and strengthened me. And that leads me nicely on to our topic for this week, the next way that we follow Jesus, which is called fellowship. And fellowship is not a very common word anymore, is it? And perhaps for some of us, we go immediately to the Fellowship of the Rings, the great novel and movie. Maybe for others, it resonates more in the sense of being a fellow at a guild or an association. Or perhaps more commonly, it just means a community or an association or group. And whilst in some respects, the biblical meaning of fellowship resonates with what I've just said, there's also a much deeper and richer meaning for biblical fellowship. And one description of biblical fellowship says this: fellowship is participation, sharing, and communion around the embrace of the gospel by the people of God. Now, some of us may well say, what on earth does that mean? But when we break it down, we can see three key points. We can see participation, sharing, and communion. The other questions might be, well, who has this biblical fellowship? And our answer here is the people of God. And finally, some of us may be saying, well, what brings us together in the first place? Why are we even drawn together? And this description says the embrace of the gospel. It's a lovely term. It's the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's our adoption into the family of God that unites us and brings us together in the first place. And you see, that is a key aspect to biblical fellowship. And it distinguishes us from other clubs or groups or associations. You see, we don't come together out of a common interest in bird watching or film or the ballet. Now, some of you might, and that's absolutely fine, but that's not why we come together for biblical fellowship. You see, we have a unity because we are in Christ and we are adopted into the family of God. And that is where our fellowship begins. God took the initiative to bring us into right relationship with Him. And those who believe in the gospel are united in the Spirit through the Son to the Father. And out of that leads to a relationship where you have communion between humanity and God. And this is where it all starts. But it's not the totality of our fellowship. It begins in God and because of God, and yet it also includes our relationship with other Christians. You see, there is a relatedness and there are relationships and a communion because we are members of one body with one Lord and in one Spirit. In our Ephesians Bible study that we've been doing on Thursday lunchtimes all through the lockdown, we've just looked at the wonder that God uses the church to display His manifold wisdom. It's amazing, isn't it? Just think about that. The very wisdom of God in all of its detail and design and many facets in some way is displayed in and through the church. When you stand back and you look at the church, I mean, you look at our church, Jubilee Church, you just never get such an eclectic group of people all together in any other setting. I mean, in a recent poll of Jubilee Church, which I need to tell you has a lot of English people in it, they all voted and agreed on this poll that Australia was the best cricketing nation. I mean, go figure. This is the manifold wisdom of God displayed. And yet when you stop and look at the church, there is a wonder and a wisdom in it and shown through it that is beautiful. It is and will become more and more a church of all tongues and tribes and nations. It is a diverse group of people who come together first and foremost because of Jesus. It crosses all racial lines, all political lines, all class lines. It's made up of men and women and children, singles, married, widowers, people who are well educated and people who are not so well educated, the rich and the poor, and we are all family. It's amazing, beautiful, and it's held together like everything else through the power of Jesus Christ. And as we come together as believers, we discover that God places us in a body for us to grow. It's where we play our part and fulfill His calling on our lives, where we spread the good news of the gospel and where we serve our communities locally, nationally, and internationally as well. See, what I'm really talking about here is who we are as fellowship, united with Christ, called for a purpose to fulfill His mission in our times and in our area, built together by God, with each one of us playing our part and having a place. Romans 12, verse 4 and 5 says this, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." So we all have a part to play and we all have a place in fellowship. One body and many members. And we do not have the same function. We don't have to be like anyone else. There are lots of us at Jubilee, and yet we are one body. We are connected like the arm is to the shoulder, all the way down to the toe on your foot and the hair on your head. We are also members of one another. Again, a connectedness that goes beyond mere club association. There is a deep level connectedness that is brought about and through our unity in Christ. And 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18 says this, "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose." It's wonderful to think about God placing us in fellowship. So now that we've looked at who we are as fellowship, let's turn to what we do in that fellowship and in having fellowship together. So turn with me in your Bibles to Acts 2, and we'll look at verse 42 to 47, and I'll read it for you. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." And as you can see from the scripture, the early church devoted themselves not only to the apostles' teaching, not only to breaking of bread and prayers, but to fellowship as well. And the key word here for me is devoted. They devoted themselves to fellowship. It was honored and valued and highly esteemed. And it's good for us to think through our own approach. Are we devoted to fellowship? You see, it begs a question for all of us to reflect on. Is fellowship an optional extra that we do when we feel like it, or are we devoted to it? Indeed, what does devoted to fellowship mean? There is a journey each one of us needs to go on. And yet, I think as we go on that journey, reflecting on these questions, it's good to frame that reflection and those questions within the context we find here of being devoted. You think in the other areas of your life where you clearly recognize you are devoted. And is that the same as your approach to fellowship? See, most of us would agree that the notion of being devoted to the teachings of Scripture and to breaking bread and to prayer is a good thing. This is something that should apply to all of our lives in all times and all cultures to all people. And it seems to be a universal principle that God wants us to know through His Word. And yet what we find right in the middle of those other aspects of the apostles' teaching and breaking of bread and prayers is fellowship. Are we devoted to fellowship? And it's one of those moments where we read the Word and we allow the Word to read us. It can feel like a bit of an ouch moment, a hard conversation with ourselves. And yet these moments are so often the moments of deep growth. Moving on, there was also a commonness evident in the early church. It was on display. The believers were together and had all things in common. Now, don't worry, I'm not ascribing a Christian commune approach in any way, but I do want us to reflect and see what the scriptures say here. The members of the fellowship sold possessions so that needs were met. Again, I see a universal principle at work, a godly design for all peoples and all times. We are called to a generous life where we love God first and we love our neighbors as ourselves, where we sacrifice for the benefit of others. And in this case, it meant selling what you own in order to meet the needs of others. It's See, Lindy and I have a wonderful testimony in this regard. Probably a month ago, our washing machine broke. But actually, it broke at the start of lockdown, and another amazing family in the fellowship helped us with our washing, which we really greatly appreciated. And we got it repaired, and it started working again. And then about 4 weeks ago, it broke. And you know what happens when that second breakdown happens so soon after you've repaired it? You do the calculations, don't you? How much is another repair going to cost? How long will that last? What specials does the shop have on at the moment? And in the end, I actually pulled the washing machine out, took the back of it, didn't have a clue what I was doing. I watched a lot of YouTube videos, and then I thought that maybe I found it, and I thought, great, I think I found the answer. I had no idea what I was doing, and I had absolutely no clue whether it was going to work or not. But what I did know for certain was that the amount of washing, and remember, we are a family of six, so that mountain piles up very quickly. The bath was full of washing and growing by the hour. And you see, a most wonderful thing. A family in the fellowship found out, and the first thing I knew about it was when I received an email from the store to say that your new washing machine will be delivered tomorrow. It blew Lindy and I away. It was hugely generous, and it was such a blessing, and we are so grateful. But you know what? What really moved me and still moves me and gets me today was the heart of this family that was moved to meet our needs. I come into my kitchen now and I look at the washing machine and I praise God. I mean, who would have thought praising God after looking at a washing machine? But you see, that washing machine reminds me every single day, multiple times throughout the day, that God will provide, that God has placed each one of us as members of the fellowship as He chose. And that the fellowship we belong to and the fellowship we can participate in is beautiful, is insanely practical, and forever displays the wisdom of God. And so what else do we see here? Well, verse 46 says this, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they receive their food with glad and generous hearts." And we see a doing of life together, day by day. Now, of course, life for us in the UK is very different to life for those guys back in the first century in the early church. And yet, the day-by-day principle is again what I would see as a universal principle of God that He wants for us today. It holds the notion of life together and journeying together. And it's so very important. And we want this kind of life growing up throughout the church in all sorts of places, and it's the particular focus of our growth groups. These groups which meet in people's homes week by week when we can are where the day by day happens. In these groups, we share our lives together. We are honest and raw. We pray together. We study the Bible together. We care for each other. We love one another, and we grow together. It's life together, and it results in joyful and generous hearts. It results in thanksgiving to God and for each other. It's where we grow in friendship, grow in trust, and it's that safe place where you, as a member of the fellowship, can come and participate in fellowship. It's the place where you can say, "This is me. I'm a bit broken. I'm a bit messy at times. I'm a bit weird. Or if the shoe fits, I'm a lot weird, and I'm absolutely in Christ, and you guys are my brothers and sisters." It's where we can ask of one another, "Can we go on this journey of life together as followers of the way?" See, it's utterly beautiful. It's often messy. It's family. Families sometimes argue. And it's the place where God has placed me and you as members of His body. It's where we find our place. Even today, in this easing state of lockdown, in the land of Zoom and its many fatiguing inhabitants, it's for the Zoomed out and the Zoomed in. It's for you and it's for me. It's not a club or association or a hobby group. It is fellowship. We first find it in Jesus Christ, our Lord, and then we are placed in a fellowship by God and invited into fellowship with one another. I pray that each one of us find a new and fresh understanding and application of fellowship this week. I ask God by His Spirit to put a fresh passion in each of us to connect with others, to share our lives together and participate in the fellowship of Jubilee Church as we continue to grow in being followers of the way. Bless you and have a great week.